What's good, everyone? It's Gavin or Tweak.
What's good? What's good? It's Marcus or Pink.
What up? What up? It's Matter Has. Sorry, I had to fill in for Chuck is not here this week. What's going on, everybody? Another week, another episode of Tweak Talks here live for you guys. Actually, not live, pre-recorded, but still, it's pretty good. A lot of great Smash Brothers was played this weekend, and then also some great Smash Brothers was played to win a tournament this weekend. We'll get into all that, both the Invitational. Gavin was at the Reaper Invitational, and also Sumabato 55, which, chat, you know what? I'd be reading the comments. You say we don't watch, we don't care about Japanese tournaments. You know, I stayed up the entire night and watched all of Sumabato, and locked I'll be honest, in. Chat, first off, yes, I locked in. Yes, I risked my health and well-being in my sleep schedule for a Japanese tournament. Did I enjoy myself, though? You'll wait and find out, okay? I had a fucking blast. There were some great sets, dude, that were played at Sumabato, as expected. And a lot of great storylines coming around the bend to Genesis next month. But before we get into all the tournaments and all that, and before we get around the horn, we got a little Patreon for you. Patreon.com/TweakTalks. We do weekly upload content. Gavin's been uploading even more in there recently. His own little bonus content. Plus,
there's new stuff tomorrow. I already have it scheduled. So
look at that on top of his game.
When you see this, it'll be available, actually.
Perfect. Yeah. Well, there you go. See, professional. Dude, we're coming up in episode 200, which is kind of crazy. We got to do something for it, I feel like. Just ridiculous. We got that going on. Gavin, you've been streaming like a madman. You've been grinding Smash. You're getting ready for not just Genesis, but everything coming up in this big year of Smash Ultimate. So make sure you check him out at twitch.tv/tweaksb.
Thank you.
Plug it, man. All good stuff.
And if you want any Smash lessons, I do Metify. I don't plug the Metify frequently here, but my lessons are $20 cheaper than they were in the past. If anyone is interested in something like that, I do hour-long sessions. You can ask me any questions. We can play some matches, etc. And But yeah, I have some VOD reviews scheduled. By the time you're seeing this, it will be up on the Patreon. I watched some Leo matches from LMBM. And yeah, there's a few tournaments this weekend. I was at a tournament. I played a little bit of Smash, not too much.
You did play a little.
Can't play too much. Can't play too much.
We were
not good for your health.
We were gonna record yesterday, and Marcus said, "Yeah, I think Gavin's taking a nap. He's wiped out from playing so much Smash yesterday. He's gonna take it easy." I thought that was a great joke. Reaper Invitational. So. The thing, I've been watching Smash a long time, bro, and so first things first, I think it's great they tried something new. I think we're in a stage of the game where we need to kind of freshen things up a little bit.
Yep.
I didn't understand the tournament format for the life of me, you become the Reaper, I got that, but then I was like, wait, but then what if two people who aren't the Reaper play, it's like, but you also have three lives. It was just a little confusing. I wish there was a single diagram. I think they realized that too, that's fine. New tournament format, the more you see it, the more used to it you get, which is good. But I think there should be more helpful information to understand it. But also, I did enjoy the fact that we weren't 100% sure who would be playing each other next. Like, it depended on who beat who. Not even necessarily, you're next in the bracket because, it's your turn to play. It's it might be your turn to play or might not. How did you feel about from a competitor standpoint, Gavin?
Yeah, I thought at the end of the day, there was good Smash to watch regardless of you understanding the format or not, which it's not a requirement to understand it. And as it went on, I felt like I got a better understanding of it. And like you said, something that I really have been wanting to drive home, especially on my stream with Switch 2 talk and Smash 6 talk, is how much competitive Smash is in the community's hands. Outside of the video game itself, we have created competitive Smash in its entirety. So doing something like this is great. Attempting to do something new, especially when the game is stale. Unless you don't think it's stale, which is reasonable, but a lot of people do. I think it's great. Because a lot of people don't have the confidence to do anything at all. We have a hard time making decisions a lot of the time. So I thought it was really cool. Obviously, it went down in like a really strange way. Like, that was very unlikely to happen. We'll get into that. But as a spectator, I was just watching Ouch go crazy. You know what I mean? Like, regardless of the format, I was just watching Ouch cook people. So, like, that was cool. But yeah, I just really want to drive home that, like, a lot of people think, like, oh, you know, we need Nintendo to do X and Y. And sure, like, when it comes to money, but that's it, really. Competitive Smash is in our hands, and we are in control of literally everything. What, like, what's allowed, what isn't. So, you know, doing something new, I think, is great, and having the confidence to do it. And that's why I really, really like the Max and Joe events, like the Let's Make Moves and the Gommels, because especially the Let's Make Moves, because they've experimented with banning Steve. They've not banned Steve at some of the tournaments. And it's not about banning Steve being a good or bad thing. It's about actually doing a poll, trying something, because a lot of the time we get really stagnant out of just fear of doing something new. And a new game is going to come out eventually. Like, it's guaranteed to happen. The Switch 2 is, you know, we're seeing a presentation for it in April, all that stuff. So it's really important, I think, for the community to understand that we are in 100% control of competitive Smash because we created it.
I think, too, like you said, it's bold to do a new tournament, to host a tournament, period, to do it in a new bracket format that has never seen the light of day before, and then have the one of the worst possible outcomes for that format happen. Really, that sucks. I do appreciate Lumi Ranking actually acknowledging and ranking this tournament, because I've said it before, but like, if players are there and playing their hardest and there's something on the line to play for, I think it should be considered. Not necessarily that it should count 100% or anything.
Yeah.
But I feel like everyone was there. The Gluto Link thing was very interesting. That aside, I think we need to talk about that a little bit too. I think someone in chat said that Gluto was just hard committed to Link this year. Like, he said he was going to do it.
And yes, he already had said so. All that
yeah. Stuff, yeah. So that's as serious as you're getting. Bro, I would say it before we went live. Shout out to all the Wario mains out there still. They lost you. They lost Gluto. What's that? They lost Gluto to Link, too.
That's pretty rough.
It's not like they moved. He moved on. He's like, I'm playing Aegis now. Or I'm playing Steve or anything.
Oh, he went down.
Dude. He did get a W, though.
Link is pretty good. Also, the funniest thing about the venue, like, I'm sure you guys could guess it, but I'm sure a lot of the chat wouldn't have been able to guess the number one player everyone did not want to play. It was Gluto's Link. No one wanted to play Gluto's Link. We were all complaining about how broken Link is, blah, blah, blah. No one wants to fight his Link. It was hilarious. You know, but it's just so, like, it's so different, and, like, you know, you don't want to be that guy that loses to Gluto's Link, etc. It's in a bracket like this, it does put on like a little extra pressure. But I mean, you guys know how I feel about trying something new, especially when, like, there's stakes. I am a fan of it. It can accelerate growth, and it shows a lot of courage. And Gluto's a really great player, and I think this, especially this late in the game, like, having faith in a character or having faith in yourself and with a character that, you know, is unexpected, I don't think it gets much cooler than that. And yeah, like, also, we're in the end game of Smash Ultimate. I think it's dope. Like, he played more than anyone, too. He got his money's worth, bro. Like, he played, he practiced with everyone. He got a W in bracket. Like, he was serious. I usually talk to him quite a bit at these invitational type things. I did not talk to him that much. He was playing.
Dude, he was the number one player in EU in Smash 4 with Smash 4 Wario.
Yeah. To put it, I guess it's a weird comparison sometimes between games, but Smash 4 Wario is significantly worse than Ultimate Link. Yep. So yeah, it's a good point.
I think you can do it. Go ahead, Marcus.
How you mentioned that the format is something new, because it reminded me that Summit didn't always have a gauntlet stage. I remember when they first introduced Summit, or first introduced the gauntlet stage, and everybody was like, bro, I don't get it. Like, this is too confusing. Yeah. Like,
expected or something like that.
Yeah, you know? Now it's like, oh, like, gauntlet stage, like, we get how this works. And for the people who aren't familiar with it, it's new to them. But if, like, a tournament like this continue to happen, we'll just be like, bro, Reaper Invitational. All right, bro, let's lock it in.
Yeah.
Don't lose. And then...
Yeah.
Okay.
Just don't lose.
Can I say at the end of the day, I was like, I don't fully understand, but winning is good and losing is bad. Bottom line, true. Like I'm here. I'm what? Hey, you know what?
I feel like in the moment too, there was a sweet spot where like no one cared, and it was just about how good Ouch was playing. Like, and that was my whole point when I showed up. I was like, I'm gonna play what I'm told, like any other tournament, and people are going to like the good moments.
Like, yeah. And I'd say too, like you want to talk about, you know, obviously in terms of how the bracket fundamentally broke down and how it played out just from like a seeding slash you. Yeah. Okay. You won two sets and you won the tournament, but you beat Ouch, who was clearly playing hot and beating everybody else that day. So that obviously said something, which isn't too different than a normal bracket. You know what I mean? Like if you face someone in winner's side, you knock them into losers, they go on a hot streak through losers, you beat them again. That's kind of the tournament without all the additional steps ahead of it. But the other side is like, bro, we got to watch some sick fucking ultimate is like the other, like not just Ouch. Like there was a lot of great play to be. Dude. I thought Zomba was playing well. Like it was just, Ouch was obviously, he was the all-star like for sure. Like that was,
he won the tournament, bro. For lack of a better phrase. He really did.
Man.
So
Wolf forward aerial is all I got to say. What happened?
So I was like feeling like I didn't know how to feel about it because obviously like I like have the trophy in my hand and I'm like okay, but so basically if Ouch lost at any point I would have played more, but it was just crazy how it worked out. And B texted me when I was because I stayed it was snowing pretty bad, so I stayed the night at Max's after. And then I went home like the when I woke up Monday morning, and B sent me a text like, yeah, like after your interview, the Twitch chat was like, oh, of course, the guy who won only playing two sets likes the format and like wants it to be on every tournament. And it's like, whoa, as if like I've never won like anything ever. And I'm just like so happy. Like, bro, let me bring you to my living room and show you this trophy case real quick.
or sub to the Patreon because the trophy case is on there.
Trophy shelf, hey. I guess. That was hilarious. That was hilarious. But yeah, it was just, it's just basically Ouch being a very abnormal situation that tournament because we all played our first rounds. Me versus Ouch was both of our first matches. And then there was, I forget, Syrup Zomba was their first match, right?
I think so.
And that we're getting somewhere. There's like two more first rounds.
Light but Cosmos? Basically,
what's up?
Light Cosmos.
Okay.
Light Cosmos. That was the first match of the day, period.
So also, I had a problem with that set because it was set to 99 stocks for like a warm-up, and they started playing and didn't realize it, and they took the first stock, and then they jumped off and reset. I'm like, why didn't you guys just play the first three stocks? What was that? That was and it killed – dude, it was Cosmos's momentum 1,000%.
You know they're not – bro, you know they're not going to time. Like, okay, if it were like
– Yeah. Well, watch the timer then. That's fine. You can also do it like, that
they're,
way.
They're not going to time.
Yeah,
I don't know. Has Paris ever gone to time?
Oh, probably not.
Not because he wanted to.
I can't imagine that.
I think he'd rather die than go to time.
He's probably died before it went to time or the opponent did, whatever. That was my first match. And in the moment, we're not thinking that like someone in the room is only going to play twice. Because the second Ouch loses to anyone else, it puts me in a situation where I have to play significantly more. So basically, you want your win if you want to play less and win the bracket. you want your win to stay in the bracket as long as possible. Because once the any of your wins are no longer in the bracket, it puts you in like a potential situation to be the Reaper or whatever. But Ouch beat everyone he played except me. So he lost to me as his first match and beat everyone else except Cosmos, who was eliminated first. So that probably wouldn't happen again. And things would look a little better. But it was still very impressive because Ouch did basically what I thought I was going to have the chance to do, because I didn't understand it, obviously, at first. I'm not perfect at understanding it, but I get the concept, I think. I thought I was going to get a bunch of chances to play, and like we can like get a bunch of wins, get a lot of points for the ranking. But I only played twice. But Ouch did what I thought other people were going to be able to do as well. I also really wanted to play some Cloud, but I only played two sets, and I'm pretty good versus Wolf, so I don't have to switch against Wolf. Have it every time, guys. I really want this. It's the only way I could ever win a tournament.
It kind of sucks that you like can't really vouch for it, because I mean, it is what it is. We're like, I think one way to look at it is you won the tournament, but Ouch was the Reaper. You know what I'm saying? Like, and I think that's kind of something that they want, is like not necessarily who wins is like the obvious, like, but then it's tough because we talk about winning a tournament all the time and how important it is. Yeah. But again, if you can't beat somebody and they're in the same bracket as you, whether it's Reaper format or whatever, you're not going to win the bracket anyway.
Being the star of the show is also very important. It really is.
Dude, he deserves it. He's so good. He is very clutch, very like intense on the mind games, like very intense on quick decision making. Like, I just really enjoy
lots of game fives. Like,
yes,
if there was anyone to be the Reaper, bro, like it was awesome. I mean, Steve is hard. He beat Rob, which is historically really hard. It is like, please believe me, that matchup sucks. Like he, like I said, he beat everyone but me and Cosmos, and he didn't play Cosmos. You know what I mean? Like, it was some good ass Wolf gameplay, bro. Yeah, I fuck with Wolf a lot. So like,
same.
Stuff like that happens.
I mean, who doesn't, right? Like, Wolf is cool. I mean, year one, he was kind of like the lame, like pocket character that just like counterpicked people, or at least that's what I did.
Absolutely, yeah.
But now he's like
raw.
He might like be like the coolest character in the game, debatably, to like a competitive player. You know what I mean? Like, he's very often considered up there for just like fundamentals and just playing Smash the right way, quote unquote, blah blah blah. He won hard matchups. He won lots of game fives. I think he also had a game five with Mr. E, who has also been improving significantly lately. I think that's been really cool to see. I mean, who could have predicted what happened on Sunday? Like, I don't know. I don't know what else to say about it.
Yeah, Mr. E's, his game plan has gotten a lot better. It's a lot more solid. And I do think that, yeah, you won the tournament only beating Ouch twice, and Zomba also only played twice.
Yeah. I mean, dude, winning one set and getting third is like, because I think it was top four payout. It's like, bro, dope, cool. Like,
but you gotta I think there's something to say about like that happening at normal events that aren't necessarily as big, because it's an invitational, but people get upset, man. Like, and I think that if you think about it in a way that, okay, let's say a lot of people, I'm not naming names, but a lot of people would say that Shaddix's run at SmashCon was a lot easier than most other people's run. And that is because people got upset. Like, people get upset. So when they play not as difficult players as they're expected to play, then sometimes they just do better. And I've heard a lot of times people be like, wait a second, this person got second. Who do they, or they got, they won. Who did they beat? And they're like, well, they only beat one person. Like, I don't know. I think that there's potential for something like that to happen in a normal bracket. Yeah. And it just happened. And
this is like the most extreme example, basically.
Yeah. Like it's stuff happens.
For something like winner's bracket in double elim, it's like always the comfort of like, I mean, there's always like a couple players that are like, oh, I don't want to go down there to losers because like that's where all the chaos is. That's where, you know, Leo and Spargo were fighting for a millionth place. Oh my God. And that's always the privilege of like not losing. The comfort of like every win in winner's bracket is like two wins in loser's bracket and you get accelerated all the way to top eight and you're chilling. Like it's, you always get rewarded with that like sigh of relief basically. And I guess this was an extreme version of that for me where I won my first match and like, it's like, I just got to watch Ouch destroy everyone else. And I just have to sit back and be like, oh, good thing I didn't lose to him. Like he's destroying everyone.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. Maybe it would have looked a little nicer from the outside if I like played two different people at least. Like, but yeah, I mean, I have so much experience versus Wolf. Like, but that being said, he still played fantastic versus everyone, including me. So
I was gonna say, Syrup has a lot of Wolf experience too, and that way, you know what I mean? Like, I mean, a lot, like, yeah,
Namba debatably crazy. Has more Wolf experience than me in a tournament. Yep. Environment.
Oh, dude.
But yeah, I mean, I love it. Like I also had like a small phase with this style of Wolf for like a couple weeks and it was just so exhausting because I went to like my local and I played Zomba and I tried to use Flash twice and missed and lost the set like in like last stock scenarios. And this was before like Zomba was Zomba. He's like 2 years old, bro. And you know, later in that bracket, I'm like going Roy or something in losers or whatever. Like, you know what I mean? Like it's not easy to play Wolf like that. I mean, like gambling your last stock on those Flash combos, bro. Like if any of those missed, the whole tournament changes. In some sets he did it more than once in a best of five. Like I stopped playing Wolf like that very, very quickly once I started trying to do it in bracket. And it like once it didn't work a couple times, like I just can't rely on that. I'm too much of a consistency guy, you know what I mean?
Yeah, so, bro.
Like that tech chase he got on light. In my head, I was like laughing at the fact that I was like, bro, a guy like me, I'm taking the dash attack. Like, because I knew Light was going to tech in. I knew it when I was watching. I predicted it in my head, but I wasn't like, if I was out there, I wouldn't have gotten a stock. I just wouldn't have. I wouldn't have. I would have gotten another aerial. I would have gotten a dash attack. Like, he killed him at like 70, like before the footstool. Like,
there's something to say about players. I've seen this come up a little bit recently about players who are very, very, very good at finding the stock.
Yeah.
And I think people were using Spargo on Twitter or whatever. They're like, Spargo's like the best player in the world at finding the stock. Yeah, Light. But I didn't realize how good Ouch was at finding the stock.
Yeah.
Until this past weekend, because I've watched him a lot, and I don't know. It just felt like when he would hit someone, he was like, okay, if this goes this way, they're dead. From, like, the beginning hit. He just knew, like, okay, yeah, if this goes this way, and I'm going to try to make it go this way, they're dead. And over and over again, I was just like, dude, how far ahead are you seeing when you hit someone?
Yeah, he used that pressure against the opponent because he would set the tone immediately. He would remind you the worst case scenario and you would be thinking about it the whole set. You know what I mean? Like that pressure is really, really good. Like using your win condition as like a threat and not just like it either happens or it doesn't. a good player is going to be so scared the whole set. Think of like, you know, Donkey Kong grabbing you in the last couple Smash games. Like, you're going to be playing so preemptively around that, that he might beat you for doing so. And that's always been my strategy with win conditions. Like, I hold on to banana for the whole game and then you lose and I didn't even like hit you with it or something. You know what I mean? That is a very good like winning strategy in Smash, I think, is being able to do something like that. Like Marcus said, like from the first hit, there was a path of you are going to die. I think that's just a strong strategy. And like, I mean, when you're watching him win over and over and you have to sit down next, like, holy shit. Like, he was actually the reason. I'm next to get Wolf Flash. You know what I mean?
The other thing I thought was so good about him, and very, very tied into what you guys were talking about, is his poise. Like, he would miss things. Remember, like, the up B that he missed against Mr. Yeah. E game 4? He just SD'd at, like, 10%. And he just, the camera cut back to him, and he was just like, okay, and just kept going. And it's like, that was after hitting how many, you know, sour spot back airs into Flash, or how many forward airs into Flash, right? Over, like you guys said. So it's not just the technical or the mechanical aspect of going for those things, but just like being on phase when that shit doesn't work out, because that's a part of the character.
I mean, yeah, it didn't work for me. This is a long time ago, but it didn't work for me, mm-hmm. dude. I wasn't down for that life. And I only tried it like
turbo once. Down, dude. He full sends every time. It's awesome.
Wait, at this point of the game, it makes sense, bro.
You kind of have to.
For him?
You might have to, bro. And by might, I'm positive. You have to.
Like, how else are you going to keep up? Like, you got to.
Yes. Like Wolf, bro. Like, Wolf, you got to start killing people, bro.
It's like Wolf's secret version of DLC is just, like, not giving a fuck and just full sending every time. Like, oh, there's an aerial flash. Like, let's see what happens. Yeah.
Someone's dying.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
But I think it's also important to notice not only was he finding it in the creative and complex ways, sometimes he made it look really easy. Like, some of those situations, so some of this might be Zomba, like, falling a bit into the pressure, which is reasonable, right? Like, we just talked about that. But some of, like, you don't just, like, back air Rob in disadvantage with
Wolf. Yeah.
That's part of the problem when he's flying above you the whole game. You don't get much. You might even get hit yourself. And Alsh, like, what not only was fighting the crazy stuff, he was also getting the simple things. He beat Syrup at the end. That, like, as crazy and clutch as it was still a simple sequence of Wolf events. And he just gets the simple back air at the end. Versus Zomba, the games he clutched were crazy. But he still closed it out with just, like, a juggle sequence on Rob, which is, like, it never works out that easy. I even said it to him before we played our final match. As a Wolf player myself, and, like, I knew he knew what I meant. He agreed. He's like, yeah, usually, like, you might get a weird trade or lose. And you never just back air Rob at 100 and win the game. You never do that. And it just, I don't know. Like, it was, like, some crazy tournament momentum, bro. A lot to think about. I honestly felt like I had a lot to think about Ultimate itself and about my own gameplay from watching that. I feel like you can dive deep into Ouch's matches and really take something away from it, regardless of what character you play. It was inspiring. It was straight up inspiring. My Twitch chat even said the same thing. Like, that shit was fucking inspiring.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. It's something, bro, we needed.
Game 5. Right, crazy now. Comebacks. Like, and like Haz said, one of the most important parts is bro was chilling, bro.
He like, was. I was surprised at how ice cold he was. I was like, oh, the cameras. That was one thing about the event, too. It had, like, good camera work and, like, yeah, all this other stuff. It cut back
it
to
was
him.
Nice.
And I was like,
it was fantastic.
And he was just like,
Brooklyn right, is cool, too. So,
yes. Very cool.
Like, what very, is and, like, bro, dude. Some of the time, like,
you better tech versus him. You got to tech. Like,
he knew when to use which aerial, which is something that I don't think most Wolf players know what to do, or like when to do it. So against Syrup, like we just saw against Zomba, he did forward air, because of the potential land on platform. But yeah. I'm pretty sure against Syrup in the last stock, it was forward air, nair, and he ended up on the platform. And there was a lot of like different small routing decisions where I was like, did you know that this was going to happen? Like, you know what yeah. I mean? Did you like?
He was trying to put people on the Platts in like weird ways.
Yeah, which
it
is
it would line up a sour bear that wasn't even true, but they like would miss the tech.
Mm-hmm. Or he would like, which is like, most of the time players will go for like max damage, right? So they'll go for like
forward air,
and then they'll start doing like up air, something like that, right? But like he was just like, what is that? Like that routing, I don't know. Lot,
like the nair there would have been nair fair on the platform, right?
Or something. Right. Yeah.
It's
a lot of like small decisions and like the choices of his moves. And I was just like,
I could talk about Wolf all day, especially with something like this. Cause when the game first came out, the combo routes obviously weren't even close to optimized, but there was like a good baseline, of course. And I gave myself this like idea after like a couple days of playing him when Ultimate first came out of like, when I'm sequencing, I should try to not do the same move twice during a string. That was like an idea I gave myself. And a lot of it really reminds me of that, where it's like fair, nair, bear, flash, or like there was a lot of sequences. Trust me, there's sequences where like fairing like two or three times in a row is the best. Especially if it's like Rob, where fair combos off like down throw, like that's different. But like it was like a vague idea to give myself to see like how far I could push it. And it got interesting from there. And I think it can be an interesting theory, especially because Wolf's neutral air, forward air, and up air are all frame 7. So you can literally do the same frame advantage, the same combo with like all of the different moves that in a different order a lot of the time. Mm-hmm. Just because they're all the same number, which can be a strength and can also be a weakness. It's been a weakness for Wolf more than it hasn't been, just because it's so hard for him to like shield is difficult for Wolf to deal with. It really is. And you can't just be like, oh, I'm going to use up air, or I'm going to use nair, or I'm going to use fair instead at this time. It's the same thing to the opponent. It's the same defensive timing. So it's crazy. But yeah, the way Marcus was talking about the sequencing of aerials, it reminded me of that random thing I told myself when I was first practicing Wolf to try to get creative with him.
Cool. I mean, we talk about where we are in Ultimate, and yeah, it's the late game, which means a lot of lame stuff that isn't super fun to watch, but it also means highly optimized stuff like this, and who knows where Gluto's Link is going to end up eventually, and where Ouch is. I can't wait for Ouch's next tournament. I'll be watching that shit, that's for sure. There's a lot to look forward to, you know, for Ultimate still. I think we all, you know, try to remain positive while keeping it real here too, obviously.
I think that's as human as it gets, to be honest. I like to keep things that way.
Y'all want to hear about Sumabato 55? That shit.
Lock it in, bro. All I know is my goat.
Really?
Dude, actually, shout outs to Wolf in general, especially on the East Coast. Because there was that one like regional that Jude won.
Yep.
Over Icy. Hey,
might be Wolf's year.
Yo. Don't get your fucking hopes up, but
it's a good start, though, objectively.
But yeah, what a good weekend for Smash, I guess. If you're a long time player, Wolf being two of like the key events this weekend, like Wolf doing well at two of them, is like that's good. Ultimate,
it's not bad.
Ultimate is saved for like 24 hours, you know.
That man loves some Wolf O'Donnell, bro.
Me?
Yeah.
Dude, I want to see your cloud, dude. We kind of glossed over that, but yeah. I was excited. We were texting about your cloud the day before. I was excited to see it, but then there was no opportunity for you to do that because you played the same person twice.
Who are you even gonna? Maybe you don't want to say. Actually, you're probably not doing it at Genesis. Who knows? Who are you even gonna play cloud against?
So who was Light? There? So there was myself. There was Syrup. Was there? So there's someone I could go cloud / both was what I was thinking. And then there was Light, which is interesting, which is similar. I think I could also try both versus Light.
Oh, that's interesting.
Because it's not as much my style as what I wanted to do for Cloud, but it is a good matchup for Cloud, in my opinion. I think Cloud probably beats Fox slightly. And then there was Eric. And I think I could also reasonably use both versus Lucina. Diddy Kong wins, Cloud wins. Cosmos, I would probably go all Diddy Kong. Aegis Cloud, like, I don't even see Spargo like to do it. Who else was there? Zomba, I was just going to go all Diddy Kong. Spargo doesn't even go Cloud versus him. Yeah, no. Who else was there? That's almost everyone. Oh, ouch. I planned on going all Diddy Kong. And there's one person,
you,
maybe?
You did do that.
I did do that.
It's a good plan.
Gluto. Gluto's yeah, Link.
Gluto, in my, I didn't consider Link, but it was also a possible both angle. That was the hardest thing about it, was I expected to do it, but I wasn't sure like how many games or if it would be all Wolf or all Cloud, all Diddy Kong, blah, blah, blah. But there's plenty of options. Like at least half of the people there, Cloud was a reasonable pick on paper. And maybe it would have been something like Gluto's run where he was just grinding it out with something new. I was thinking it would be more like a middle ground of that for me, but I played the same person twice, so. But I practiced with Cloud, with Cosmos and Mr. E. I thought we had some fun games, and it's getting there.
It's strange.
I'm not super proud or happy with it, but I think it's getting better.
It's not going to happen overnight. Yeah. He's
also like, it's gonna. I'm gonna do things my way, no matter what. It's
very strange,
and I accepted that a long time. Like with any character I've ever played, I will do things my way, and I'm going to pick a move that you don't agree with, and you're just going to have to hold that.
You mean his Cloud is strange, Marcus? Yeah,
yep, yes. And I think, but there's only one reason I think that is strange, because Spargo exists. If Spargo didn't exist, I wouldn't think that the way his Cloud played was strange. But
you might
when
even
I, when I visualize Cloud playing, I visualize the way Spargo plays.
Yeah, it's pretty optimized, and I'd say that strange isn't a bad thing. I think it's kind of a compliment in a way. Like you see the game in a different way. I came up with the
phrase for it on my stream.
Oh boy,
Spargo is a back air dash attack Cloud, and like, and I am a neutral air down tilt Cloud.
I like one of those a lot better.
Yeah, I know. You have to trust me. You have to trust me.
Okay.
Okay, well, I obviously will do a lot of the same shit, right? Like, obviously, like with Cloud, there's like almost there's only so much variance in some of the scenarios, but it's me trying to put into perspective where like I keep things like cleaner and like faster frame data, and he tries to fuck you up.
I was gonna say, first off, Spargo is a forward air Cloud. Let's get something straight.
Oh, dude, the thing is after a couple days, I figured out like we all have to be.
Yeah.
Oh, it's amazing. I love that fucking move.
I just do it like any situation where I don't know, I'm forward airing.
Yep. It's a perfect off tempo move. Bro, it's off tempo. I never
did that in four.
It's off tempo, but if it hits, you get like 50, if not kill them. It's kind of raw. Like that move.
They just can't do shit though. It's more so about controlling the match.
Yeah.
They just have to watch you do it. Like,
unless they are some parry lords, in which case, I mean,
even then sometimes no one cares. Like,
yeah.
It's crazy.
And
slingshotting with him is obviously nasty too.
Yes.
I was randomly watching your stream. You did back air cross slash near like the ledge of the stage at like 15. And I was like, this is a different cloud. Only because I'm so used to seeing back air dash attack send them so far off stage. Yeah. Even though back air cross slash does more damage, I'm just like, in my brain,
Spargo's
like,
just trying to fuck.
He's just trying to kill you. Yeah, he's just trying to kill.
It's like, ouch.
Yep.
Yeah. It's scary. You get scared, bro. Like, he's trying to take your stock.
But it's weird because I
feel like Max told me in the car ride home, we were talking about because I was talking about how I've been playing Cloud, and he was like, oh, I love watching Spargo because it's like he hates his opponent, like. I don't know if I've ever thought about it that way. It's not that I disagreed or something, but I've never thought about it that way, and I can see it. Like, it's brutal. And I mean, Cloud himself, like the way he functions ultimate is pretty like brutal. Like, it's loud, it hits hard, it kills early. Like,
he rules, dude.
Like,
he,
I can see rules. It like, but Max was that's what Max was explaining, and I was like, oh, you're not gonna think that when you watch my Cloud.
Well, it's weird because I feel like you've gone kind of full circle, or you're going full circle, where you 7 years ago you were trying to kill people in one hit.
Yeah
like, but then you like shied away from that, and now you're like, well, I'm on Cloud, I'm starting to hit people and Maybe. I mean, hey, you never know. Like,
I'm seeing things. Like, sometimes I'll, like, get a hit and I'll see something and I'll be a little late and I'll get reversaled. But I'll still be like, okay, I saw something, though. Like, a week from now, like, it'll get fast. Like, my refresh rate will get better, better, better. But I'm so, like, I don't know. I don't know what word to use here. But I, like, expect perfection, like, in 24 hours. So it's tough. And it's weird because I had a lot of experience with Cloud. And I've been playing and watching Spargo and Ultimate for so long. But it doesn't click naturally. But I think somewhere after the first couple days, I think I finally got past, like, the brick wall I was refusing to get past with him all these years. Like, I just didn't want to give it a chance. I think that wall is actually officially broken. I'm officially just progressing with the character and just playing, and it doesn't hurt anymore. I don't know how to explain it. It doesn't suck anymore. So it will come out. It will come out. It will. And I mean, I guess I haven't talked about it on the show yet, so
it's pretty new still. But
only stream watchers would know.
Yeah, it's not for fun. It's not.
Nice.
And it's also, we talked about this before, where this is kind of about Smash 6, where I was saying I'm playing to win. Like, I'm not, like, I'm going to play some broken shit next Smash game, no matter what. And I'm trying to prove that to myself by doing this in Ultimate right now. Like, I'm going to, like, put on the suit and tie, like, from this point onward. Not that I wasn't playing to win with Diddy Kong. He's really good. He's top tier. But I was playing matchups that really sucked. Sometimes I'd win, sometimes I'd lose. But I'm proving to myself that, like, no more fun and games, basically.
That's right.
Like, I'm putting myself in favorable scenarios. For sure.
To your credit, you didn't drop a set that last tournament, so that's a pretty good start.
Yeah. Played a little bit, only a little. I had to go home, sorry.
What was the ratio of time spent sitting around the
goodness gracious
venue versus playing
in tournament? Funny. I mean, honestly, I don't play that many friendlies, especially like once like a top 8 thing gets started. But yeah, at one point I was just hella waiting. I was having a good time watching Ouch. I kept texting like B like periodically, like, bro, are you seeing this? Like,
you're watching a Discord actually. I texted her to watch. I was like, you want to watch this tournament? We were watching. Yeah, so
I was just like, it was just clutch after clutch after clutch after. It was getting ridiculous. I was like, this isn't even real anymore. Like,
he's easy to root for.
He's like at 100 and his opponent's at 0, and you expect him to win now because he did it like 3 or 4 times in a row. And that's where it's really scary, because the person he's playing against is going to feel like that too. Like, once you do it enough times, the whole venue is going to feel it. Like, it's hard to stop the momentum, bro.
That's a top player privilege perk that people don't know about.
Yeah.
When you see it enough, like the people who, that's even like the real top player privilege. Yep. That's They done seen Leo do this one thing so many times.
Yeah.
That's why game 4 Leo lasted as long.
They'd rather get 3-0'd than take a game at this point. They don't want to have to deal with it. Like, mentally, it might be easier to just lose 3-0 to Leo. You're right. Like, a lot of the time, like, you don't have to do it to the person you're sitting down next, like, next to. They just have to know about it. And that's enough. And it's very interesting how things develop because of that. And like the storylines that are created. And I mean, dude, people still, when game 4 Leo shows up, people are still like, what's going to happen now? You know, I've been playing against Leo like for years and years now. And like the pressure's there every time, bro. I haven't lost in a few years. And it's still like, once I win the first, if I go up 2-0, like,
really? You think of this stuff? Even as
there was one set where I lost like the first or second game at one point, and I felt way better. And I like won, and I won the set, and I was like, he messed up, bro.
Yeah.
He should have let me win. Like, I think he won the second game or something. I don't know which one this was.
You're like, nice.
And I was like, okay, it's over. Like, I win. It's hilarious. Like, what a hilarious thought process, but it's how things happen. when like a storyline is developed over the years or like a couple crazy sequences happen. Like if I'm Spargo after like the throne thing and like, bro, that's scary as fuck. Like I know how it feels. Like that the shit Leo did to Spargo at throne, like that was one of the craziest ultimate things I've ever seen.
That's one of the best ultimate sets ever and ultimate moments ever. And you're right. Leo could do that to anybody at any time. Also, happy birthday to the GOAT. Pretty sure it was his birthday yesterday. Oh, really? When we're returning. Yeah.
Oh, it was. Yeah. Was it yesterday or 2 days ago?
Happy birthday. I think
yesterday. When we're recording 2 days ago. Or when we posted, it'll be 2 days ago. So shout out to the GOAT, man. I'm really excited.
You got two herders in one pool. Crazy. Anyway, sorry.
Okay.
Honkai Star.
I don't know what that means. Oh, okay. I thought you couldn't play that game in the United States anymore. Didn't they delete it? I don't know. Man. Anyway.
It was Mobile Legends. All right, anyway.
Can I tell you guys about Tsumabato?
Yeah, bro. Let's lock in Dora. That's my goal.
Who? Did you say Yoshidora?
I said lock in Dora. That's my goal.
Okay. There are players I'm becoming a fan of very quickly. Never thought I'd say Doramigi. Not because Doramigi's great, but I do not like Midman.
Yeah.
Nope. Bro. Huh? The first match I watched was Doramigi against Jugaboo, the Falcon.
Yeah.
Jugaboo goes off stage, obviously, to attack, tosses Midman off stage, goes to attack Doramigi. Doramigi goes underneath him, and he overshoots a back air, and then he jumps in neutral airs and reversals him and kills him at like 10. I was like, okay, it's like that? Hold on a second. Like, Doramigi, bro, I'm going to say, like, kind of fun to watch. Like, I'm coming around.
Dude, he plays fast, and he... Yes. I mean, we talked about Ouch playing to kill you for like
an
hour.
He's vicious. He's Doramigi vicious.
Will do that.
The whole You've never played him though, right?
Me?
Mm-hmm.
I played him in friendlies at Cirque in the Airbnb.
That's what. It, yeah.
I right. played him in snow quite a bit.
I'm good.
But we've never played in bracket, no.
Oh, okay, okay.
Doramigi
plays fast. Very... He tries to kill you.
And he's got the DLC privilege behind his kills too. You know, and you see it. Like it's just it. Back throw, charged up dragon arm. Pff, like, you might as well just give it up, man. It's over. Like, it's just gone. Yeah. Doramigi, definitely becoming a fan of Doramigi. Did you see that? It was also the return of Neo, which is great. Neo hasn't played, cool. Like, I don't think in a big tournament in a while. Back-to-back wins. Matsunabe, who got fourth place. Falco, one of the best Falco losers runs we've ever seen. Insane. Also beat Raru, which obviously great matchup for Korin, but Raru's like a top five win now. Like, just ridiculous. That's really good.
Crazy to say. Because,
you know,
yeah.
I mean,
Raru's been
having he got ranked season. Sixth with Luigi. Like,
wild, dude. Just wild. And then that leads me, but Neo lost to Umeki, who also I love. Umeki, TO, extraordinary TO. Old head like us, which is me, Marcus, which is amazing. And Umeki also beat Ashimo, not yet Gavin. In a very tight game five, which obviously I didn't love to see, but it was a good outcome because I also like Umeki, but Ashimo got ninth at this tournament. Losing to one of my new goats, by the way, dude. Snow? I could watch Snow play Smash Brothers for a very long time. That forward air, you want to talk about a forward air merchant just like Ouch, bro? He is throwing forward airs as Mario. He does not give a shit. It is fucking fun to watch. Down tilt back air, Marcus. You're not a fan of the ledge. Come
U-N-E-E,
on,
man.
Well, here's the thing. Here's the
dude,
thing
it's
about,
fun. I don't know
like,
what to tell you.
Characters that like are trying to death combo you, right? Usually they're like running head first into the zero to death situations, and it's like, you know, one of us is gonna die type of thing. Snow will wait for 7 minutes to get his combo, which I think is very good. And I mean, the easiest way to describe it is like he timed out Sonics with Mario.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
He'll wait.
Dude, another thing I really appreciate about his gameplay is so you're so scared of getting hit by him. And especially when you're recovering, like when people are trying to recover against him, he had these incredible fireballs off stage, like just plopping them up, like literally killing people because like they would go low because they were afraid of him. And he just drop a fireball on them when they're going to double jump and they just died. Like they or were in such a bad position, they would die eventually. Like, yeah. I don't know. I really like watching him play. That was very fun. Y'all heard of Quid? Y'all heard about Quid's run tonight?
Yeah, right. Right?
I was dying at the tournament because people were talking about Quid, and I was like, how did this kid get to Japan?
Over there.
I was crying at the idea that, like, why are you there?
Ninth. ninth place, losing to a good Luigi player in winners. I think it was 3-1.
Was it Navy?
Yes, it was Navy. Yes, it was. Yep. And then he got all the way to ninth. Two game five wins. The first one was a reverse 3-0 against Turiguri. Don't know how you have the mental fortitude to do that. That sucks. And then he had to play against the good Aegis Rob player. You know what? I'm scared to say. I'm going to mess up the names. And it's just good content for Naru and Sid, okay? It is what it is. Shokai is the Pyromithor slash
that player.
Yeah, I'm not familiar either, but
they beat Jogaboo, so they're a pretty good
run. It was just hilarious, bro. I was like, what?
Yeah, Quid was just there. A new season of Squid Game, new season of Quid doing really well. Like, it is what it is. As Toon Link mains, Marcus, you had to appreciate level one's run.
I think watching him was actually fire.
I think so too. I've always been a fan.
We decided this at the same time. Actually, I remember we were watching him in a Discord call. We were like, "Bro,
this rules. Yeah, this is great. Yeah, this is amazing." I think he reversed 3-0'd Quid. So I saw that Quid was up. I was like, "Damn, he's about to top 8." And then I'm pretty sure it was game 5, but I'm pretty sure he got reverse 3-0'd. It was like 4 in the morning. I don't remember all the details.
Is that a P tier or a S?
It's, I think, their fourth P tier in a row this year. Fourth P or S tier.
Then it must have been an S. They haven't had that many P tiers.
It's a major, whatever. I don't know.
Yeah, it was like a super major or something like that. Yeah.
Snow Ashimo, great set, obviously. One of my goats had to go down, unfortunately, was Ashimo. Mia won the tournament, and I've been thinking a lot about Mia's like storyline arc as a player. He's like the new Spargo, bro. Like, he really is. He's gotten second a couple seasons in a row, losing out first place to a couple different players. It's been really close. He mains a vanilla cast character, Game & Watch, and then he secondaries DLC top tier. And he went to the Steve a couple times, actually. He had to play Ferraramen, who's another good Game & Watch, and he didn't want to do the ditto, apparently. So he went Steve and 3-0'd. I think Ferraramen actually went Isabelle too, at least one of those games, which is weird.
For Wintry.
Yeah, what are we talking about? Holy shit.
Hey, well, shout out to Japan, man. But that's Steve all three games. Then he went Steve against Yoshidora. Did not switch, even though he lost the game. So the Steve,
I guess that makes sense, but it doesn't make sense. You know what I mean?
This is so out of nowhere. I don't mean to cut you guys off.
Are you good?
Is this the first episode since the Switch 2 announcement?
Yes, because Lights Out was, they delayed their episode, like, luckily, and they got to talk about the Switch 2.
I'm pretty sure. I think I got a couple comments on the previous episode that it was good timing, because I think I mentioned, like, this might be the last episode before the Switch 2, and it was.
Nice.
So sorry. Like, this is so off topic, but wow.
It's called Tweak Talks, man. I'm just here.
First episode.
I put my ass down and listen.
First episode after Switch 2. That is wild.
Mario Kart. I told you, MCU, new, bro. I'm never putting it away.
Dude, what did they do to my friend?
New Donkey Kong looks amazing, am I right?
MCU.
So for anyone who keeps up with me and saw my crazy Donkey Kong rant or watches my stream, that also included a Donkey Kong rant.
Bro.
Also, dude, my chat was hilarious. All the viewers were just like, hey, Tweak, how do you feel about DK? How do you feel? We weren't talking about Switch 2. We were just talking about DK. And I appreciate that everyone was thinking of me. That was very funny. So it's not about liking the design or not. I think it's cute. I actually like it. It's the questions that it brings, like, because it's not rare DK's design, and Kremlings haven't been in games in forever, and are they going to change other characters' designs? Like, is he going to be like this in a DK game or a Smash game? It's not about it being good or bad. That's not my problem with it. It goes much deeper than that. Because I think it's cute, but there's more important things to think about if you're a fan.
Right, like, hopefully Diddy Kong wears jeans in the next iteration, right? Yeah.
What are they going to do?
I told Gavin this is like, it was literally during my bachelor party when they leaked that Ken was like homeless and like into crypto and shit. It literally ruined my bachelor. I was like, what the fuck just happened?
So also, a lot of people think it's Mario Movie DK, which is reasonable to think, because Mario Movie DK was based on like classic DK design you see in those, like, I don't know, like those like 2D comic book looking vibes, or like the merchandise, like So the Mario movie was inspired by that classic DK. So this Mario Kart is like something like that. Like it's a blend of all that stuff. And I don't know. I think there's positives, obviously. They're doing a lot with DK lately. It's almost it's overwhelming as a fan. I see like they were marketing this game, The Returns, which was a Wii game and a 3DS game that I've already played before. but it's cool that's on the Switch. All the country games are available on the Switch, which is cool. But they have the amusement park thing in Japan. He had such a big role in the movie. Maybe they're going to make a game with this new design. Maybe they're going to try something new. Because I think Nintendo has really had a hard time knowing what to do with Donkey Kong without Rare doing things for Donkey Kong. When it comes to just Nintendo, I don't know if they are that confident. So maybe they are trying something new in the Switch 2. And yeah.
Hello, Tiny.
You know what's hilarious is we be talking about new Switch and new Nintendo, new Smash 8 months ago when nothing happened, and then this episode happens, we totally fucking forget to do it. Actually, yeah, like every other time, we're like, let's talk about it.
The most important thing that happened, and we did not mention it.
It was like last March, and we're like, whatever, let's talk about it for 3 weeks in a row, and then it actually happens. We're like, let's talk. Now we're going to cover the Japanese. All the things we talked about
happened. So
yeah, it's true.
It's all true.
There's a new corn on the block called Daigoro. You hear about this player?
No.
Beat Kaninabe. Not actually new, but beat Kaninabe. Yes, absolutely. It was Kaninabe and level one, actually. Couple good wins right there. Winner side top eight. Yeah, that was also game five. Hard matchup for our GOAT, level one, obviously. Yeah. I thought, too, like bringing it full circle here, I thought Dorimiki was going to win the tournament just by watching his first couple sets. I was like, he's playing like fucking amazingly, like so well today. But he lost to Mia. He couldn't beat the game and watch. Yeah,
I was going to say, if he beat Mia, two things. One, this would have been the first time in who knows how long. I don't even know if he's beaten Mia before.
Is it a bad set record, Marcus?
It's awful. Yes. Hey, okay. Smash his app while I'm talking, please. It's actually really bad. But I think if he would have beaten Mia, or if he beats Mia and hurt this season, that he'll be ranked number one in Japan. I think he'll just stop losing everybody. Because those are the only two players that he gets smoked by. Like, I watched those sets and I'm like, this has to be more than the matchup. Because when you played Meister in Min Min Game & Watch multiple times, it looked good.
Marcus?
Mm-hmm.
0-13.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm a new Dorimiki fan. I didn't know it was like that. I'm sorry. I didn't understand.
Yeah, Mia and Hurt are like his really big, like, I don't know what to do players.
Is Snake bad for Min-Min?
You know what's interesting about this? It sounds crazy, but you can frame that as a good thing because he's really young, and like you said, once he gets like one or two,
yep,
it will change significantly because a lot of young players will kind of run into the same issues without realizing it, and then one day they'll just get it.
He hasn't even forced a game five yet. Looking
so
at this,
one day it'll just change. And like Marcus said, I agree with what he was saying. So
he's like, Mia's like his DeBuzz, if we want to put an old head. Once you crack it, you gotta do it. But I do think Mia's story arc right now is, how does he become number one? And a part of that is he has been really consistent in Japan, but I feel like that kind of dipped off a bit last season too. And obviously he's always had troubles traveling and competing and finding that consistency. I hope he goes to the Steve a little bit more for some of those, like beating Yoshidora or beating some of those, you know, veteran players or players that he really respects or thinks he might have a hard time with. I think going to the Steve a little bit more is his key to success here. I think Game & Watch is still really good, but I think do we all agree that he's fallen off a little bit, at least like from his peaks? No.
Game & Watch?
Really? Yeah. Oh. I just don't see him as.
For me, it's, I don't know. For me, he's just better than he'll ever be as a character.
Fair enough.
The thing, I just think that we've seen a few more matchups show up that's given him trouble. Like there okay, are more yeah. hero there are more heroes showing
Sonic.
Up. There are more Sonic showing up. Like Wrath is showing up, Sonic's showing up. There's more Corrin. There's 1-0.
Dude, Corrin was
more.
for the slot where I'm playing Cloud right now, Corrin was heavily considered. I actually mainly talked to Marcus about this and I explained like what I wanted. And Corrin was heavily considered for like a stylistic thing. I actually think my Corrin would probably be better than my Cloud, but I'm just sticking it out with Cloud. I actually think my Corrin could be better than my Cloud right now, but
I think she's where Corrin's like a more simple character to play.
Yeah,
I think
very very good.
I think Corrin's more rewarding on hit.
Yeah,
and. Taking stocks with Corrin is a lot easier than taking stocks with Cloud.
Like, I think my ledge trapping would be naturally way better and all this stuff and like confirming kills. And she was heavily considered like Roy, Corrin, Cloud. Like I wanted something like that. And Corrin was probably option two. And then Cloud ended up being the choice just because it's Cloud, you know.
you're going with the Spargo counterpick wheel against Sonics.
Oh, true.
Or an Aegis in there.
Plus, like, I don't know. I grew up playing against Corrin like a lot. I played Cosmos a gajillion times. I played Ryuga a gajillion times. I even could play. Who couldn't play Corrin in 4 though? I was gonna say I could play Corrin in 4, but like that was like part of the appeal. so it was very considered and. Dude, I always thought she was so good even before the buffs, and now she's just straight up so good.
Oh, yeah.
Corrin is nasty, bro.
Can I say another Japanese player I really enjoyed watching this weekend was Shiryuki, the Inkling?
Inkling.
Raw player. Sticking it out, dude.
For so long.
Good player. Lost to Umeki 2, game 5, heartbreaker against the Mia, winner side. I thought, like, Umeki was playing so well, too. It's always fun. I don't know.
Dude, but, I really think Inkling is the number one example in Ultimate of a character that was power crept by DLC. I think Inkling might be the best example of it. And I think the previous best example in Smash 4 was Villager. Where like they're like almost good, and then like DLC kind of ruins everything.
Yeah. Fair enough. Yeah. It's funny because when you said that, I was like, power creep is like probably the word he's going to go with here because, it is what it is. So read a lot of the comments about how we do care about Japanese tournaments. It's very hard to stay up until 8 a.m. It's
5 in the morning.
It's more than that, bro. It is fucking it's usually like 7 or right 8 outside watching Mia versus Dormigi. I had to for Dormigi since I'm a fan now. But it was. A lot. I just did it by myself too. Like you were going to the tournament, so you're already in bed. I was like, I'm kind of. I actually part of the secret was I fell asleep watching a movie earlier in the day, so I was like kind of awake, and I was like, I can either go to bed or I was fueled by the haters to watch a tournament. You know what? The haters are right. I got to give it up. I had a blast.
You were more prepared than us for this week then.
I had fun. And I was off on Monday. It was a big thing. I was like, I can fix this on Sunday. I'm good to go. But yeah, I loved it, man. I mean, it's just, another thought I had. So we're all like, Smash 6 is going to get here. It's going to like fix so much shit. It's going to be fresh. You know what it's not going to fix? Japan is still going to have this fucking infrastructure, and they're going to be a factory for building top players, bro. They're going to have great player. Like, they are going to, think of every other Smash game. They started from a further back position because they didn't have as much infrastructure or tournaments to go to. We were the, central area for that in the United States, but North America at large. They're set up, man. That aspect of competing is not going to get easier or better when Smash 6 for everyone else when Smash 6 comes out. They are like a fucking rocket, man. I was thinking about it. I was like, yeah, I can't wait for Smash 6. I was just kind of, everyday thoughts, just thinking about the future of Smash and what's going to come. I was like, they're going to still probably have even more tournaments when Smash 6 starts up because it's going to be huge over there. It's going to be huge everywhere, obviously, especially at the start. So it's not going away. Like this is a thing. They're gonna be fucking cooking right out of the gate. It's something to think about for. And they have so many good players. This top eight that I just watched, and everyone just watched this weekend, except for you guys and Charles. Amazing tournament. Get them, chat. Get them. And Phil didn't watch it either, actually. I was going to watch his stream, but he was also in New York. Oh, he's wow. in New York. So wow. I like looked him up on Twitch. I was like, where the hell? Oh, right. He's in that. He's sitting on that toilet in a shower. That's right. what was I going to say? He probably watched some of the tournament from that seat, actually. I thought of this. I was like, bro, this top eight could have been like Mia had close game fives. Yumeki had close game fives. Like we're talking about a tournament where Ashimo didn't make top eight. Like, it's just crazy how competitive it is. It's awesome to watch. It really is. And I'm so excited to see how that the momentum's not going to stop for them, bro. They're picking up steam at the end of Ultimate. That's fucking crazy. That's crazy. They want it, bro. Good for them. Hey,
they also, everyone wasn't there. Hurt nope. wasn't there. Akolo wasn't this
far. Hurt was sick. Akolo wasn't there. No, Akolo was not there.
Zach Ray could just randomly show up because he's Zach Ray. I mean, I think Yada's like in school. People probably forgot that was even a player. Bro just.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, bro was just locked in and was like, yeah, I got to go to college, like university or whatever. I'm good. Like, there are a lot of players over there who just aren't showing up currently, but when they show up, you're like, bro, I forgot. This dude crazy.
Yep. Yeah. Like Ryuo eliminated early. Like just it, dude. And Turbo shout out. Pharaoh competed over there too, which is super cool. True. But also Quid, man. Ninth place at a tournament like this. And he's not as active as he once was. So that is pretty fucking ridiculous. The kid is talented, obviously. That's so
the PT. Dude. Absolutely. That word is like perfect. Quid is talented, bro.
He's talented. He can keep up. Even yeah. That was losing early in winter. Well, maybe not early, but like maybe where you're seated to lose. But he just did so well. And it was tough game fives against not anything you could really prepare. How do you prepare for someone like Turiguri? You have to learn. You have to show adaptation. Yeah. So anyway, I had a fucking blast, chat. You were right. I give it up. I will be ruining my sleep schedule more often for these tournaments.
I got church on a Sunday, bro. I'm good, but I'll
watch. Hey, just stay up. Think about it. I can't see. I'm not like a VOD watcher after the fact. Like I love living in a moment. Like well, I can, and I do sometimes.
That's fair.
Like some of them, because there's two streams. So sometimes I miss matches or games. Like how do we even get here? And I'll go back and watch. But I really, there's something so incredible about watching it live. And it's just so, hey, good Japanese players, they had to do this too before they had all their Japanese tournaments. They had to watch the USA tournaments or whatever, the NA tournaments that were whatever time for them. So it is what it is, bro. I don't know. I love this shit. It was fun. I had a blast. And I fixed my sleep schedule. Take us out, Gavin. Tell them about your Metafy, tell them about your Twitch, and tell them about the Patreon. Get us out of here.
Don't forget about
anyone's interested in bonus content. We do a lot of fun stuff, VOD review as well. Patreon.com/tweaktalks. I also do Smash lessons if anyone's interested. I don't know what the link is. It's just look up Tweak SSB on Metafy or look at my Twitter somewhere. You'll find it. And I stream daily. If you want to see Smash practice at Tweak SSB as well. And thank you so much for supporting it as always.
And
Metafy.gg/@tweak.
Oh, simple. Simple as that.
There you go. Now you know it. That's good. Maybe that's why you don't plug it.
Yeah. I don't even know where it is,
You're
bro.
Not sure. Shout out to Neo, dude. Fun watching Neo play again.
Yeah.
That's great. Great tournament.
Yeah, shout outs to everyone for supporting the show. First episode with the Switch 2 in the future, I guess. I'm very excited for the April presentation. And I'm excited for the future of the podcast as well, just with everything. New console, maybe new Smash game, etc. And
Yeah, dude, real quick, we were in a Discord call the day after and we were talking about it. And it's like, we are now officially on red alert for new Smash.
We were too early.
Well, I mean, everyone's always thinking about it, right? Like that's always kind of a thing, except for like the first year or whatever. But It's unlikely that we'll get anything in April, but it's not impossible. That's for sure.
I'm hoping maybe the presentation after the first one or something. We'll see. But thank you so much for supporting us as always. And we're getting there to 200 episodes. And just thank you. Have a good one.